for our Good Samaritan Baptist Church Sunday evening Bible study for Palm Sunday. I appreciate again that we could just gather around God's Word. I'm going to go ahead and continue on in our series that I started in these Bible studies on Revelation chapter 1, but just to recognize that we are on Palm Sunday, and this week as we step into it is a precious time for a Christian to study the events that occur in this week in history, starting again with the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'll probably make reference to that a little bit as we go through this study, as we are looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 1 again and continue on. I had made out a worksheet, and I believe I sent one copy out to each home, so you have to fight over it or get to a copy machine, but boy, I encourage you to take the time to fill out the worksheet. It's not one of my straightforward fill-in-the-blank worksheets. There are some places where you can have to do some thinking on your own, and I encourage you to do that. I won't correct these or collect these, and so I want to encourage you to just use them for your growth. There's places in there where you have to actually get a concordance out and look things up for yourself, and so it teaches a little bit of how to study the Bible as well. For us, that we would be students digging around in God's Word. And so get a hold of the worksheet. It's online, or I can mail you a copy if you need another copy. But anytime you fill that in, it'd be good, even if you don't get to it until after we've gone through some of the study. I'll go over some of it here in this Bible study. Revelation chapter 1, we read verses 1 through 3 and started 4 and 5 last Bible study. So let's go ahead and pick it up and read that second sentence here of the book, and we'll take our start there. Revelation chapter 1, second sentence. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. I think that's a period. Let me read this, the next sentence as well. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, that every word is given for our growth and for a revelation of yourself to us. Pray you'd bless in this Bible study as we'd again open the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I ask that you'd open it in our hearts and minds. And Father, help us as students of the Bible that you'd teach us to be diligent, and as we're looking at great depth at these precious words from your hand, I pray again, Father, that you'd encourage our hearts in you, and we live in troublous times, and so I pray again for your help and blessing, even from our Bible study just now. And we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So our worksheet, again, let me go over some of the things on our worksheet before we get to this. What is it, the third sentence, I believe, in your Bible know the fourth sentence. There's two sentences that we looked at in introduction, and then there's two sentences here before we hit the first amen. So we got the first four sentences down here, and I want to talk again about that fourth sentence a little bit of this precious old book. The worksheet starts out with Revelation 1:1 and asking you to consider what the pronouns are in that first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, and the question is, who is the him there? To show unto his servants, and the question is, who is the his? It's a possessive pronoun. And whose servants? Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel. And so the question is, that pronoun, he, and the other one, his, who is that referring to? Unto his servant, John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. The question then is, who is that he pronoun pointing to? And so again, if we were in our Bible study class, I'd certainly sit down and we'd have some discussion about each of these pronouns and come to some conclusion. I'd have you at least put some thought in it. And then again, we have the promise to those that read here and keep in our worksheet. And verse 4 here begins in our worksheet anyway with these. What are the names of the seven churches which are in Asia? And you got to find those names. I'll give you this hint. They're found in verse 11, listed neatly and spelled right. And then it says out of verse 4, what three tenses send grace and peace? What three tenses? Help you out there. There's only three tenses to begin with. So if you'd finish the phrase and then put which tense it is, that's what we're looking for in that worksheet slot. And then, what are the seven spirits before the throne? Again, you got to do a little Bible digging here, and it's probably no coincidence that there are seven spirits listed, as it says in Isaiah chapter 11. And if you could write those out in your worksheet. And then, verse 5, we looked at in our last Bible study, what are the three listed traits of Jesus Christ? He is the faithful witness, he is the first begotten of the dead, and he is the prince of the kings of the earth. And then the second part of verse 5, what might each title tell us about Jesus Christ? And again, you have those three titles. I'd be interested in your thoughts to what does that tell us? That he's a faithful witness, that he's the first begotten of the dead, that he's a prince of kings of the earth. What do you draw from that? And then where we're at in our Bible study tonight, again, is looking at 5 and 6. What three listed things has Jesus Christ done for us? Again, that's another one of those list things, and we're going to look at that list here tonight. And then the next one, and out of verse 6, what three things are ascribed to God in this verse? And you're probably going to miss the first one. It's a little hard. I looked through the verse to find an of and fill in the blanks, but there was none. And so it says he was the Father of Jesus Christ, and it says two other things about him. So let's go ahead and the rest of that worksheet, just a couple of questions left on that half a page, is not straightforward. I want you to think about it. I want you to dig, and I want you to go ahead and study the Word of God as you fill that in, and we'll get to the remainder of that in our next Bible study session. And so let's go ahead and look here again at this session. And look what it says in verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." We talked about that in our last Bible study. And then look what it says as it goes on. "Unto him that loved us." The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world by him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so he loved us, and consequently he provided a means of us getting out of our sin, out of our sin debt, and out of our sin's penalty. The Bible says, "God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Praise the Lord for his love. Who does God love? Well, God loves everybody. And so we got to understand that there are actions that make God angry with his loved ones. And so consider again that he loves the world, he loves all of mankind, but again there are actions of rebellion that man gets engrossed in, and God does not love those. But he still loves the individual, and we need to learn to separate that, even in our own compassions, our own understandings of others. Sometimes we can get so angry at people that we lose track of the fact that we're to love as God loves. And so here again, this begins with this, "unto him that loved us." And so he loved us. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit as well. All three of the Trinity are included in the previous portion of this sentence. And so notice again that he loved us. There's a sentence preceding this one. "Unto him that loved us." And so we could do a quick lesson on the love of God and how great it is. And come with an understanding again that God loves all of mankind, and he especially has a love for those who responded to his gospel message and are now his dear children. Notice the difference. You were a child of this world, but now we are children of God. You were born into this world, into Satan's kingdom, and the Bible says that we're born in our sin and under the prince and power of this world. He is our father, spiritual father, the Bible says, a father of lying and rebellion. But here, notice again that once a person is saved, they have a different position in the love of God and in his care. Certainly God is not willing that any should perish. And he tugs on the hearts of every man. He tries the reins of every man. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, called the Word, called the Light. And we're told in John 1 that the light shined into everyone that's born into this world. And so everyone has, again, a taste of the love of God and an opportunity to follow that love of God. And so right in the middle of my message, I got to stop, and we'll have a meeting with my neighbor just a minute. right. We were interrupted for a moment there in the middle of our Bible study here. The wind's blown my pages over. I believe we were in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. I had to stop and go chat with my neighbor a little bit. And so let's see if we can't go ahead and finish this study. I don't know how long I'd already gone, but we'll have to start a fresh recording and see if we can't pick that up from here. It says in verse 5, where I was meant to get to anyway, and from Jesus Christ. And so the topic of the verse again is, of course, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And then it goes on and ascribes to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so let's go ahead and look at those three things as they're listed in our worksheet. Three things that he has done for us. And I'd already covered the fact unto him that loved us, and God so loved the world. So let's go back and look at the second one, which is important to look at, I believe, right here now on this Palm Sunday, when we're again celebrating the fact that Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th day of Abib, the day that they chose out the Passover lamb. And on that day, again, they ushered him in and received him into Jerusalem. Now, many, again, as we saw in this morning's lesson, message, did not know who he was, and they were, the multitude said that he is the a prophet of Nazareth, and we covered again very well, I think, or if not, it's in our penny pulpit, that he was more than a prophet of Nazareth. And so, but again, he's coming into Jerusalem, knowing again that he'll be facing the crucifixion in just a few days. And so look again at that verse, unto him that loved us, and look at this, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. How could I put the importance of that? How could I put an emphasis of that in? And so as we again look at those things, we want to consider the salvation that we have, and the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his own blood. Here we are coming into the what's called the week of Passion in the book of Acts. And it is, again, the last week of Jesus' life here on this earth. And his resurrection included in that week. So these last 7 days that we have of him here on this earth, starting on this Sunday, walking through his crucifixion, walking through his burial, and spending 3 days in the tomb. Bible says that his body went to the grave, his spirit went to his Father, and his soul went to hell. And so as we understand what Christ went through for us, he was the sacrifice for our sins, and he has now washed us with his own blood because, again, of the sacrifice that he made. And so when he set his face as a flint, the Bible says, to go to the cross and to make this sacrifice, when we consider his prayer in the garden, Lord, if thou wilt, take this cup from me, but not as I will, but as thou will. And so, again, as we consider all these things in this week that happened, we consider his trial, we consider his scourging. Well, let's back up. We take, consider him being taken in the garden. There's one phrase I love there, or instance I love, not too many of them, again, that we could say that we'd love. But again, when he's approached in the garden and he speaks and talks to that crowd, they fall back because of his authority and his power. And so again, the fact that we know that he is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, here upon this earth, and yet he's despised and rejected of men. And all the culmination of things that we see promised about the Messiah being fulfilled here in this week of scriptures, and this last week of the Savior's life here upon this earth. And so this is a precious week that we're going through. And as we portray again how he washed us from our sins in his own blood, I can't help but again consider again how we apply that washing to our lives. He doesn't wash all of mankind. He washes the whosoever wills of the Bible. And so again, as we consider who's washed and who's unwashed, we're mindful again of the verse I just quoted out of John chapter 3, that some are in condemnation already. And as we go on and look, that we need to be saved from that condemnation in those verses. And that word being saved, it goes on again to explain that if we are not saved, we're still in condemnation. And so John 3:16 reports that we must believe on him, but a lot of people have not followed through with what it means to believe on him with all the rest of these scripture verses. And so let's take a minute and do just that, that he clarifies after John 3:16 that we must be saved. He clarifies that all of mankind is in condemnation because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God in verse 18. Then says in verse 19, and this condemnation, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. In other words, it's going to take a change in an individual in order for them to come to the light. The Bible calls that being converted. It says in Matthew, except a man be converted, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so there's conversion that's required. There is not only a head knowledge that I believe Jesus existed, you got to believe that he was the Son of God. And further, you got to go and believe that he died and he was buried and that he rose again for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world, and you have to be acceptant of that. It says over in John chapter 5, and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so again, there is a response that we need to give in order that we could attain that everlasting life, in order that we could be saved, in order that we could come out from under that condemnation that all a man is born under. There is something called being born again, the Bible says, whereby we once were under the fathership of the devil in his kingdom. Now we're going to switch families, and we're going to be part of the family of God. And it says in Romans chapter 8 that we can now call on him as our Father, where before we could not. And so there is a conversion. There is a change in a person's life. And if you have not had that conversion, you can learn all you want to act Christian, but you're not going to be Christian with Christ dwelling inside of you until you take the steps of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that is so, I don't know how to put it, it's such a misnomer, again, about salvation. It's such a misnomer, again. The churches, Catholic and Protestant alike, teach that you have to do something. There's works. You've got to do penance. You got to count beads. You got to You got to do some kind of penance. In fact, the Catholic Church has taken their Bible and ripped out the word repentance. And in every instance where it was in the Bible, in the New Testament, and they've replaced it with the word penance. And so their Bible does not say, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Their Bible says, except ye do penance, ye shall all likewise perish. And so, understandably, they've built a religious system where, again, the works is the predominant thing, that you've got to do something. You've got to work your way. The Protestant Church, although they reformed and said it's by faith and faith alone, they still kept in baptisms, and they still kept in works that you've got to do. And the Methodist Church has a method. So we see, again, all of these things that there's a method you could follow, and if you follow it and live your life right, then you'll become good enough so that God will let you into heaven. No, that's not Bible. And so as we consider, again, the mess of world religions, even, quote, Christian, unquote, religions, they teach, again, that there's something more you have to do than what's in this simple plan of salvation, that you just need to be saved. And you individually, outside of your Catholic priest, outside of a black-robed mediator, outside of any works that you could do, you have got to come to a place where you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him as your Savior. So let's look again at the Romans Road real quickly. It says in Romans 3, 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As it says in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 4 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted him unto righteousness. And so we find again in Romans chapter 5 that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and again that being Adam, and death came by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then there's a parenthesis in the Bible, and it picks up the main thought there again in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for our sins, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And again, Romans 6:23, you're familiar with, says again that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we go on through the Romans Road, I like to stop also in Romans chapter 8 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So when you're born in the Spirit, you have a different walk. And notice here again that you're out from under all condemnation. How then do we get saved? What's the agreement that has to be made? How does this transaction take place? Well, I'm glad you asked that. If you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this in the Bible, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And again it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know probably I'm talking to mostly saved people in this Bible study. But I want to emphasize again that you need to be able to rehearse. This is the gospel message. And you need to be able to rehearse this gospel message with probably more proficiency than I did just there. And we need, again, to be willing and ready and able to talk this gospel message into the ears of our loved ones, of our neighbors, of whoever we can make contact with, especially now, again, when we're all sheltered in place. Boy, take every opportunity you can. Pray again as I pray that the Lord will give you opportunity to walk through the Romans road with somebody. And if he gives you that opportunity, boy, let's be ready and let's be careful and let's take full advantage. So what a tremendous thing we find here in Revelations 1:5 in that he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I think it's in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "For he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so, as we consider again this introduction to the revelation of Jesus Christ, I've stalled just a little bit here. On the fact that he's washed us in his blood, because on this Palm Sunday, we begin a week of celebrating again the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the actual time frame that it happened, Sunday before Passover and the Sunday after Passover. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every time we gather together on a Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that he rose from the tomb. But notice here again that on this day, it's important that we recognize the timing, that here it is, the very time of the year, the very time in this Passover a period that he walked through this last week of his life. He taught early every morning in the temple. And I was thinking that Palm Sunday, I ought to go ahead and we're doing it all on recording, and I'm doing it from our front porch overlooking Juanita Lake. But it'd be good to gather every morning of this week, and we can't do that, obviously, right now in our present circumstance. Just to have a Bible study of things and to look at every day. Look at, again, the times, plural, that he cleared the temple out in this week and overturned the tables. Looking at the fig tree that was cursed and found to be wilted away on the next visit by Peter. Looking at, again, all the events that unfold in this week. And Lord willing, I'll get a copy of the chronological listing of all the events that happened in this week of Passion. And then also a listing of all the resurrection scenes that are recorded in God's Word for next week. And so as we study these things, it ought to be precious to walk through this week on a daily basis, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. I differ from some of my other Baptists, again, that believe that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday so that he could be in the tomb for 24 literal hours, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I do believe that he was not crucified on Good Friday, as the Catholics teach us, because they knew nothing about Sabbath days. And thought, again, that the Sabbath day before or right after his crucifixion was indeed a Saturday. It was not. It was a high Sabbath day. And so, again, as I study the Scriptures and look at the three-day period, it's kind of obvious, even from the disciples on the Emmaus Road, that said, all this has been 3 days since these things took place. Well, that 3 days would again have been the Saturday, the Friday, and the Thursday when those things took place. And so for lots of reasons, you'll never get me convinced to go with a Good Friday, but again, I can understand pretty clearly that it was on a Thursday. He was taken on a Wednesday night, and he was put on trial early on a Thursday morning before light, and he was crucified and hung on the cross until the preparation for the Passover, which was, again, the next day was a Sabbath day, and so they had to have him down before the Friday, which was a high Sabbath day. And then he was in the tomb for that Thursday night. He was in the tomb for that Friday, which was a high Sabbath day, and the ladies could not go to the tomb on that high Sabbath day. He was in the tomb on Saturday, which was a common Sabbath day, and the ladies could not go to the tomb on a Saturday. And so they got to the tomb as early as they possibly could, which would have been early on Sunday morning. And you tune in next week, and we'll talk about what those ladies found when they showed up at the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. A lot of people don't like calling it Easter because that, again, is the name of a pagan god that's a fertility god, I believe it was, that was worshipped. And the Easter, again, fell around the same time as our Passover time for the Hebrews. And actually, they've changed the timing of Easter. It used to be, again, based on the sun. Now it's based on the moon. And so they always place the Easter now after the Hebrew calendar on the Sunday after the Hebrew Passover feast, which does move around during the year. And that's why our Easter moves around during the year. The Orthodox Easter, I guess, is different than the Western one. But again, when we celebrate Easter, it is, again, the Sunday after Passover, because the calendar was rearranged that way on purpose. But it is indeed Resurrection Sunday. I hope you'll join us next week. If you can, we're meeting in the parking lot. We're having kind of like a drive-in church and maintaining our social distancing and trying to obey all the rules that Cuomo has made for the safety of individuals in New York City. But doesn't too much apply to us up here in upstate New York. We've only had one case of coronavirus in Yates County. But again, we want to follow the rules as best we can and be very careful. We do have some folks in our church that are susceptible and high risk, again, for this coronavirus. If you have COPD, again, it's pretty well certain that what little lungs you do have working is going to be destroyed with this coronavirus. And so we have some folks that are being very careful, and we need to understand that and pursue that. And so we will be having an Easter worship service. It's going to be different than anyone I've ever attended. And whether you pop in with us or you tune in someplace online, we have been tuning in to the Solid Rock info.org site, again, to be at church with a church of like faith and practice as us down in Berlin, New Jersey. And I'd encourage you again to take advantage of that link and get there. But again, let's have a Easter worship where we recognize that He washed us from our sins in His own blood. Father, thank you and praise you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if you would, let us revel in it to the point where we would again just exalt your name in every word and every phrase and every thought that you've given in this precious and tremendous introduction to the revelation of your only begotten Son. We'll praise you and thank you for blessing what we've looked at here today. I hope that, again, I can put these broken tapes back together and get this up online. And then, Father, I pray that you'd tug on hearts to touch it and click it and to pay attention to the teachings of your word. And I'll thank you for doing a miracle that way. We love you. Thank you again. We can come to you, if not together, at least as a church. Help us, we pray, during these times. touch again our nation, touch our church family. Some of them are going through some tremendous trials just now. I thank you for a church that prays one for another and stays in touch. Thank you for the busy telephone lines. And I pray again that you'd just bless Good Samaritan Baptist Church in this present trial. And Father, knowing again that there's other churches, much larger churches even, that are doing even greater struggles than we. And so I praise you again and thank you for your hand of blessing on churches and people who love you all over our nation in the mess that we're presently in. And we pray for that mess and ask that it cause hearts to turn to you. Thank you for your word now. Bless again as we are students of it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.